Hey friend, welcome back to Bible Tract Echoes. I want to thank you so much for taking of your time and joining me right here on the program. I'm going to give you a call to action. Lord willing, if I can recall, you know how my memory can be sometimes, but I'm going to give you a call to action at the end of the broadcast that I want you to tune your ears for. But before we get there, look at Deuteronomy chapter number 6. We're going to look today, we're going to ponder modeling faith in the home. We're talking about the household of faith. I think of my father-in-law. He has a great little phrase, a way to just kind of make you think about this. He says this, do the walls of your home laugh? Do the walls of your home laugh? You think about what the walls of your home observe. You say, you know, that old phrase, if I were a fly on the wall. Well, imagine that. Imagine there was a hidden camera crew watching your home. Would it be a horror show? Would it be terrible to view? Would you not want the public to ever for that film to see the light of day? Or would it be something of a drama? Would it be something where it's a constant source of edge of your seat? Got to tune in next episode because you never know what crazy things are going to come. No, it shouldn't be that either. And I'm not saying it should be a comedy either. Shouldn't be a tragedy, shouldn't be a drama, maybe shouldn't be so much a comedy. But I wonder, is there joy in your home? Let's talk about modeling faith in the home. We're going to take as our scripture, Deuteronomy chapter number 6. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says this, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son. See that multi-generational ministry happening there? All the days of thy life, he continues, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. That's probably a familiar passage, something you've heard before. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. I ask your friend, would the walls of your house laugh? If we're talking about modeling faith in the home, we can't instantly assume that it's daddy's fault or it's mama's fault or it's the kid's fault if things are not as they should be. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. This passage that we just read, this scripture, of course, it emphasizes the importance of constant, everyday instruction in the faith within the family. It's about making faith, this household of faith, a natural and organic part of daily life, showing that investment in the next generation starts at home. Is the household of faith a moniker, a nickname, something that could ever be applied, ascribed to your home? I'm not asking if you have 8 children. I'm not asking if your quiver is full. You could be single. You could be a single mother. You could be by yourself, just literally just you. Could be a small home, maybe just husband and wife, whatever it may be. I ask you, do you have a household of faith? And if you do have anyone else in your home, younger, older, mother, father, children, aunts, uncles, maybe you have a very multi-generational home life. Regardless, do you model faith in your home? I wonder, as we look at this concept of the household of faith, how often we look to someone else to bear the load, to shoulder this burden. And then we don't act, but we react. When someone else is angry, what do? We so often we mirror them. We do one of two things. We either mirror them and get angry ourselves, or we cower. If someone's happy, sometimes we'll be happy too. We'll mirror them, or we'll jump the other way and decide to ruin everyone's day. I hope that's not what we do, but so often we mirror the emotions of other people. And we want to wait for someone else to be the spiritual one. We wait to say, "I'm sorry," until someone else has said it. I ask, is your home a household of faith? And more convictingly, if you were the litmus test, if everyone was just like you, oh, of course it's easy to say, oh, if everyone was like me, this life would be perfect. Everyone would be, no, you know that's not the case, don't you? If everyone was just like you, if everyone had your temperament, I'm not trying to change you. I'm not trying to make you into something you're not. I think God created you just the way you are, but we make excuses often for things we know we can and even should change, and yet do nothing about it. Are you living in a household of faith? You say, Brother Mike, you have no idea what goes on in this household. You have no idea the literal danger I'm in. You have no idea the terror I live through, and you are exactly right. I can't tell you I understand, but I know a God who does. I know a God who the Psalms describe as a shield, as a mighty fortress, as a high place, as a comforting hand. I know a God like that. I haven't lived your life, but friend, you also haven't lived mine. You don't know the low spots in the road and behind me, nor do I know yours. But I know a God who is altogether lovely. I know the rose of Sharon, the balm of Gilead, Jehovah. I know one who supplies our every need. He's not just a quartermaster supplying the need, he's also a warrior. He's the pilot of my boat, and I hope he is of yours as well. Maybe you're listening right now and you say, I'm not in a household of faith, and maybe it's because I've been less than Christian, less than Christ-like. Maybe this is a moment to take a few moments and talk to God about that. Maybe there are some things you could change. Maybe there are some things you could amend. Maybe there are some forgivenesses you need to ask for from some people. Let's take a moment and do that. But maybe you're listening right now and you'd say, I'm not living a household of faith because I'm not in the household of faith. I'm not saved. If I were to die today, I don't know where I would go. If you're listening right now, it's wonderful that you can be that honest. If you can't be honest right now, then when can you be? So I ask you this question. If you'd say, I don't know for sure, you're willing to admit that for yourself, whether you've grown up in church or not, you'd say, all of these things you're talking about, they sound lovely, but I'll never be able to scratch the surface because I'd be doing it alone. I don't have God on my side, or I'm not on God's side, I should say. Maybe you'd like to rectify that today. You can do so very simply. You must understand that we are all sinners. When we look at our home, it's easy to see sometimes, isn't it? We can so easily observe how our temper, we can put on the facade, we can put on a fake face for other people, but in the home, it comes roaring to the top, bubbling over sometimes, doesn't it? We know we're not perfect. That's easy to figure out. But then we must understand that because of that, there's a penalty. We're not perfect. None of us is. But there's a penalty for that. What the Bible calls sin, those wrongdoings, the bad attitude, all of those things, there's a penalty for it. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, the payment for sin. It's not just death, not just our heart stopping and our lungs not working. It means going to a place called hell, a place that originally, it was created for the devil, not for you and me, but we will go there if we don't accept this fact that we are all sinners, that there's a penalty for our sin, And then this, the good news, Jesus Christ paid the penalty for you and for me. You want to be a part of the household of faith, the family of God? There's no better decision you could ever make, but you must realize that Jesus paid the penalty. But God commendeth his love toward us, the Bible says. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He shed his blood. He invited us into his family. But this is the sticking point for a lot of people. They say, well, I'm mostly a good person. They can't get, people sometimes just can't get helpless enough. But maybe you're there right now. You'd say, I know I'm not perfect. This weight of sin, the weight of difficulties, the family pressures, they're crushing down on me. I can't fix it myself. That's why I'm listening to you. I know I'm a sinner. I know there's a penalty. And I know Jesus died for me. So what do I do now? Well, you've come to a great spot. You must accept the free gift of salvation. I'm going to turn over my Bible right now to the book of Romans. I'm going to read just a few verses for you. I don't want to misquote them at all. I want you to hear precisely what the Bible says. Romans chapter number 10, the Bible says this. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Then it continues on in verse number 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, right now you could pray a simple prayer like this with me. You could do this right now. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't be perfect enough to get to heaven. I never could be. But I want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to suffer that penalty. Please, God, save me today. Please take me to heaven when I die. I want you as my Savior. I'm putting away everything else I'm trusting in, and I accept you. If you prayed a prayer like that today, then friend, you believed in your heart, you said those words, you believe it, then friend, the Bible says you're on your way to heaven. I'd love to hear from you. This is the call to action that I was talking about at the beginning of the broadcast. If you did that today, or maybe you're a Christian, you have questions about this household of faith, question, a comment, a critique even, I'd love to hear from you. Text me right now at 309-316-7240. I'll give that number to you real slow one more time. You ready? 309-316-7240. Have a great day for his glory. We'll talk to you soon. God bless.
Thank you for joining us today for Bible Tract Echoes, a ministry of Bible Tracts Incorporated. If you would like to receive a free sample booklet of all of our tracts, you can contact us by calling 309-828-6888. That's 309-828-6888. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 130, Dwight, Illinois 60420. A faster way to contact us is to go to our website at BibleTracksInc.org. That's BibleTracksInc.org. There you will find more information about our ministry and details on how you can support Bible Tracts Incorporated. Thanks for listening, and may the Lord richly bless you as you serve Him.